This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, again, causeway closed in both directions. We'll let you know as soon as anything changes on that. On the latest episode of Odyssey's original podcast, Inside Black and Gold, Saints didn't beat the Commanders, but they made sure the finish was worth the price of admission. Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak and WWL sports director Steve Geller lay out the studs and duds from Sunday in the Dome. They dive into the very different days for the Rattler and Jake Hayner, and then answer live mailbag questions after week 15. You can check out the Inside Black and Gold podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. But right now, we have Steve Geller with us, WWL sports director, to talk about the Saints. How you doing, Steve?
Good morning, Tommy. I am doing all right.
I am all right, too. You got all the Christmas shopping done?
A few little odds and ends to wrap up and get on Amazon for that express delivery, but pretty much all set. Thankfully, the wife did most of the shopping. I'm just kind of, you know, there as the financial provider. She does the shopping.
Been there, done that. What'd I get you this year? Right? That kind of thing.
Yeah,
tell
exactly
me about,
right.
Tell me about the Rattler and Jake Hayner. Let's start there since you guys talked about it on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Thoughts on the quarterback play?
Yeah, it was definitely a tale of two halves, as you would say, in that game Sunday against the Commanders. And I think a lot of people were obviously disappointed to see Jake Hayner's ineptitude in that matchup. He just looked like a guy that was out of place, didn't belong, had troubles the entire first half and couldn't get that offense rolling. And I know I was in that camp, too, where I wanted to see what this kid could do, finally getting a chance to start. Unfortunately, he kind of fell flat on his face. I don't know when we'll get to see another, you know, outing from Hayner in the regular season, because when Spencer Rattler came in, it sure made a difference with the offense. Was that definite spark that they needed the second half? The Saints were able to put up those 19 points, whereas the first half there was a big old goose egg and we had troubles moving the football all around, and you just saw the rush of the Commanders was a problem for Hayner, who constantly just kept dropping back, took a few sacks there, not helping the Saints. And there were some inopportune moments where there could have been a big play here and there, but either a penalty or a drop, things like that, end up, you know, stalling a drive for them. But overall, yeah, I thought that Rattler had a decent performance out there. Obviously, that two-minute drill, though, I thought was a thing of beauty, able to guide the team down, hitting that touchdown with no time remaining in the game to give them a chance at least to tie or win the game. And I know a lot of folks were talking about that yesterday, too. Do you go for the tie or the two-point conversion? I was all on board on getting that two-point conversion just because That defense was gassed from that game, and there was no way, shape, or form I wanted to see them coming out to take on Jaden Daniels again.
No, Jaden Daniels rushed for almost as many yards as the Saints. I think he rushed for 66. Saints as a team rushed for 99, and it's like, you know, I kept thinking about, and Tim Zimmer brought this up, about LSU and Ole Miss and Brian Kelly. It's like, you know what, they worked hard to come back and the chance to win the game, and I thought he was right. I have no problem with that at all.
Right, and at this point of the season, when the team was at the time 5-8, what do you got to lose? Go for the victory.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about let's talk about offensive line play, because the line was back, you know, back as healthy as you can be at this point in the NFL season, I guess. And in fairness to Jake Hayner, Boy, a lot of those sacks came, and a lot of the pressure came with the with the Commanders rushing only four people, maybe a little stunt here or there, but that wasn't a lot of blitzing going on in the first half.
No, that's definitely been a big disappointment. And I think when you look at this offensive line, I at least feel comfortable, and I'm sure most folks do. You have two legitimate starters, or if you want to say a Pro Bowl caliber type of players in your center and Eric McCoy. And then I think Tali Fuaga will eventually, you know, grow into that role. Unfortunately, the rest of the old line has a ton of questions. I know Trevor Penning had a rough day. Lucas Patrick is a journeyman. I don't expect him to be a starter. He's a guy you're hoping that can come off the bench, but has been relied upon this year to get those starting snaps. And then I guess Cesar Ruiz has kind of been the biggest disappointment. He's dealt with some injuries, but it's just been either average or subpar play from him. So that starting O-line might be intact right now, but like I said, you have two legitimate horses on there that I think can provide you with the proper protection. Other than that, that's one of those things this offseason. You know, there's a big to-do list for this Saints squad come the offseason this year, but the beefing up that offensive line has got to be a priority because you see, the starting five isn't, you know, viable to last in the NFL, and then you're going to need depth behind that. And you know what? You mentioned it with Haener. He really didn't have a fair shake there with the lack of production from the O-line to start that game. I thought they did get better in the second half. Maybe that was a product of the Rattler being in. Overall, rough day for Haener. And you saw it, like I said, you saw it from him. He looked like a fish out of water.
I'm sorry, Steve. I just like saying it. And once you start saying it, it's hard to stop. I got to warn everybody at home listening. You kids at home, listen.
Need sound effects.
Yes, once you start saying, "They're Rattler," it's hard to stop, so don't get yourself started with it. Somebody texted in, they missed it. The two offensive linemen you were talking about, the keepers?
Keepers, definitely your center and Eric McCoy, and then also in Taliese Fuaga, the rookie.
But Trevor Penning, compared to preseason expectations, I don't think he's played that badly, has he?
No, it hasn't been awful. You'd seen some development him. Right, but the last game against the Commanders, for whatever reason, he was having a tough go. There were some times he was just whooped off the edge. It was not pretty.
Mm-hmm. And again, at this time of year, you never know who's hurt or who's not, so I try to give people the benefit of the doubt. Speaking of that, Kendre Miller and Mike Dettillier and I were talking about this yesterday, and I think Rizzi kind of addressed it in the sports that you had on this morning. Seems to me, let's talk about running back, and we'll get to wide receiver and all that in a minute, but it would just seem to me, with Alvin Kamara banged up, talk about one of the few horses, however you want to say it, you got on the team. He's one of them, right? Man, if ever there was a time, okay, Kendre, let's see what you got. Let's see if you can put a string together. Now's the time to put the load on him.
Absolutely, Tommy. I know that we're still waiting for more details on Alvin Kamara's groin issue. For me, with the playoffs, less than 1% chance for this team. Somehow they're still not eliminated.
Hang on Steve. Dave Cohen wants to pop on with an update on the Causeway. Go ahead.
Sure.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Back to Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. We're talking about Kendre Miller. Pick it up where you were, if you would, please, Steve.
Yeah, for me, with Alvin Kamara, with that injury that he's dealing with is a groin right now. He's getting a second opinion on it. We're going to find out more. Not until Thursday. That's when the first official injury report will have to come out, since the Saints are playing on Monday Night Football. But for me, we know that, like, you know, we're saying Alvin Kamara is that guy. He's that boss on this offense, that playmaker. I'm pretty much putting him on the shelf for the rest of the season. I don't need to see anything else or have to risk injury for him further down the line. But a guy like Kendre Miller, someone that you've been dying to see more action from as he's dealt with injuries, yeah, I want him to tote the rock for the most of the time now. And with these three games left, no better time than the present to start proving that you are that guy. Because I'm sure you've heard, when he got drafted by this team last year, he was coming on our, you know, post-draft show all raving about, you know, New Orleans, and he was coming to take over that starting job from an Alvin Kamara. Let's see it now on the field. We've seen the progress from him, at least, has been positive when he's been able to play. the biggest thing from Kendre is just the consistency. Can he take care of that body to remain on the field?
Yeah, and while we're talking about that, let's talk about Kendre Miller. About Jamal Williams.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's hard to talk about a guy that doesn't really have any role in this offense. I don't think he even took a single rushing attempt last game against the Commanders. It's been a real puzzling thing for me. I know he dealt with some injuries last year as well, but even coming into this season, his usage has just been limited to none, and really disappointing from a guy that came to us from the Detroit Lions, having put up 14 touchdowns in 2022. So for whatever reason, they got the best out of him, and we seem to, you know, the tread on the tire seems to be gone, at least for Jamal Williams in this offense. So you're going to have to look, you know, for maybe Jordan Mims to kind of supplement Kendre Miller, I think, in the rushing game.
What do you think happened there? I get the politics with Dennis Allen and Kendre Miller, but what do you think happened with Jamal Williams? Because that's been a huge disappointment.
No, I totally agree with you, because I thought it was going to be a nice 1-2 punch where you got an Alvin Kamara and Jamal Williams, that physical runner that you figure can run between the tackles. For whatever reason, it is mind-boggling. He has not been able to get those touches in games. Maybe gets 2 or 3 at most, it seems, in a single contest. And then it's like, oh, he gets 2 or 3 yards rushing, averaging like 1.5 yards a carry, whatever it is. Hasn't been productive. He's been a positive light, at least in the locker room, a fun guy to talk to. But the production, I mean, it just has not been there in New Orleans at all.
It just seems like, I don't know, the personality overtook the, because, you know, with the social media presence and the TV and everything else, I don't know if it overtook the on-field performance or what, but that's a mystery, man. That's a head-scratcher. We'll pick it up with Steve Geller when we come back. 504-260-1870 if you have any questions or comments. Causeway closed in both directions. Going to be that way until 11 o'clock. Numerous collisions on both sides, and the police involved responding to crashes, serious injuries, etc. Causeway closed probably until 11 o'clock, if by then, hopefully before, but we'll let you know if anything changes. 922, Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 8 now, talking to Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. Quick traffic note, causeway closed in both directions, numerous crashes on both spans, and the police involved sometimes in responding to crashes. They were involved in crashes themselves, injuries, etc. We'll let you know if anything changes, but stay away from the causeway. It's going to be closed probably until 11 o'clock, if not beyond. Steve Geller, Sports Director, our guest. Steve, let's talk about wide receivers. Olave and Rashid out hurt, right? So what happens next year? What's that core looking like? And talk about MVS, if you will, because he seems to have kind of like cured the dropsies.
Yeah, he had, I think, one last game that was kind of caused, or maybe one or two, but Valdez-Scantling, I would definitely like to see back in the mix with his wide receiving core. You mentioned, obviously, with a guy like Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed down right now with injuries, he's stepped up and been, I guess you would call it, the number one guy for this team, but you have others in place like a Cedric Wilson Jr., who passed for a touchdown last game. It was a nice throw by him to Alvin Kamara, someone that could be in the mix. He's a veteran presence. And then your young guys, and a Kevin Austin Jr., a Mason Tipton, Dante Pettis. And unfortunately, I was hoping we'd get to see the rookie Bub Means this year a little bit more, but he's dealing with an ankle issue right now and has been on IR, so hasn't been able to take part in you know, these prime opportunities at the moment, when you do have a chance to get these snaps. But I think wide receiver for sure is going to be a position you're going to look to address either draft, free agency, or both in the offseason, just because you do have a ton of questions. And there was going into this year behind the guys Olave and Shaheed, and I don't think there's been much of an answer yet there. I do like a little of what we've seen from Kevin Austin Jr., but I wouldn't think of him anymore as like a number 3 or 4 wide receiver.
Derek Carr is gone for the season, or do we know?
Well, recently we just saw Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network put out this morning that Carr went under further examination and is at least a few weeks away from being able to withstand contact. So with 3 weeks remaining, Rappaport saying a return this season is described as very unlikely. Carr's been out when dealing with a fractured hand in two places on his left non-throwing hand, at least. But we talked about this before. I don't know how you get up under center and take a snap with fractures even on your non-throwing hand. And then in that tweet I just mentioned, talking about withstanding contact, you know, you're still going to get hit and having to brace yourself from a fall or going to the ground and hurting that hand even further. Obviously, it's just not worth it at this point for a team that is not playoff bound.
Are they eliminated? I thought they were completely mathematically eliminated.
No, it's a less than 1% chance right now, Tommy. So there's that little bit.
So you're telling me.
Basically, they have to win out, and Tampa and Atlanta has to lose.
So I'm getting a lot of texts about this, about Jeff Duncan's story at NOLA.com today and the Times-Picayune, whatever it's called.
Okay.
You read it, I guess, right?
No, I haven't seen. What is the latest from Jeff?
Well, just saying that it's time for a complete rebuild, and I didn't read the whole thing. I just got a couple of texts on it, and I guess you can start with Darren Rizzi coming back as the head coach next year. Thoughts on that? Do you see that happening?
It's tough. I know the team's definitely playing hard for him right now. You saw a squad last game that could have easily given up when Washington jumped on them early. The fight back, the want to for him is definitely there. He sounds like a head coach. I'm sure, though, that the Saints team is going to dive deep into a head coaching search for any assistants that they're interested in that are currently obviously have jobs right now, or anybody on the open market, like a la, you know, Mike Vrabel's a popular name. People talk about the former Tennessee Titans head coach that was also a player in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Do I think they stick with Rizzi? No, I think they do end up going with a complete overhaul, as you were kind of mentioning, maybe in this Jeff Duncan article that he's calling for. I think you kind of need to wipe that slate clean of the Sean Payton era, and just having Rizzi around is another piece to that I think kind of lingers. And people talking about even, a guy like Aaron Glenn with the Detroit Lions, that's basically exactly the defense that Dennis Allen ran, and still having those, Sean Payton ties. I think a clean slate, wiping everything clean. I don't want to hear about, we want continuity. It's definitely time for a fresh start here in black and gold.
Talk about the defense, if you will. What's going on that side?
Man, oh man, it was nice to see a resurgence from guys like Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, and give a lot of credit to the pass rush specialist Brian Young, who was on the show last night on the Saints Coaches Go, giving us some time there. But Todd Grantham, for whatever reason, didn't seem to be getting the best out of that D-line group. And since he's left for a college gig, they've kind of picked up the pace on getting pressure and getting to the quarterback. And another one that I've been impressed with down the stretch here is a guy, Chase Young, who was on a one-year prove-it deal in New Orleans. And at first I was like, well, you know, $13 million for this season didn't seem like a worthy investment. But if this guy is interested in sticking around, I'm curious on what kind of deal you could cut with him. He's still very young, I think just 23, 24 years old still. Mm-hmm. And an immense talent, obviously was the second overall pick a couple years ago. And he's got the body. That's no doubt about it. We raved about that. And lately, that pressure that he's been able to dial up has been key. And been able to get some sacks pretty much down the stretch here, which is nice because the numbers were lacking for most of the season. And then you look at the secondary right now, you know, talking about the defense, that's something you want to invest in too. You saw a guy like Marshawn Lattimore, your top corner, was with Washington now. Paulson Adebo is dealing with the injury. How's he going to come back from that? And you have questions with Kool-Aid McKinstry and Alante Taylor. So stocking up at the cornerback and, you know, alongside Tyrann Mathieu at safety is still a key. And that's another guy that's up there in age. We've seen having a drop off, but he's still that ball hawking guy that you trust if he has a pass near him to be able to haul it in. But overall, every level, even at linebacker, because of DeMario Davis's age, I think you need to invest in some young, talented, skilled guys because the depth just isn't there for this team. They don't have that kind of ammo built up behind them right now where you'll be able to elevate the people.
Chase Young showed flashes to me, and man, I'd take a flyer on him. I would.
Yeah, there definitely is going to be the cost come the open market. I'm sure the Saints will have a number in mind. And the numbers weren't gaudy this season. Mm-hmm. I thought he'd have a way more impressive outing with his black and gold bunch. But that might be able to keep him in New Orleans if the price is right. But I don't think you overspend for this guy, obviously.
And that's the problem. He showed flashes, maybe. But it all depends on what the market demands, because that's a hell of a gamble, man. I'm telling you, I don't know if I've seen enough to gamble on it. You?
No, for sure. And then he's unfortunately a guy that's had some injuries throughout his history in the league. That's why Washington was so willing to deal him to the Niners last year. But, you know, got to have that playoff run with them. They made it to the Super Bowl and started the year having coming off a neck surgery, and has been worked in more and more. Being more productive, I'll say, in this defense. So that's been a nice bonus at the end of the year. Can we see that more in these final three games? We hope so. But then again, like I said, that price for him on the open market, I know for defensive end pass rushers is always a premium, just like quarterbacks in the NFL.
You know, I know injuries happen in the NFL, and people are going to say, I don't want to hear it, but you can't factor out a Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara early in the season, losing your quarterback, the defensive injuries. The team was decimated by injuries, and you can't say otherwise, or that it wouldn't have been a different season had there not been the injuries, do you think?
No, I totally agree with you, Tommy, and it's not just the injuries. It's obviously the key names that you were mentioning. And, yeah, it's obviously hard. Nobody wants to hear it, though. It's like boo-hoo. Everyone's dealing with injuries. Man, look at what the Detroit Lions are able to do. Obviously, they've lost a game to the Buffalo Bills this past week. But, man, they've been just decimated by injuries. And even one of their top running backs is now done for the season as well. We'll see if the Lions can keep chugging along. But yeah, that's the league. The rough and tough NFL claims many bodies, and we even see now, even with the Kansas City Chiefs going into, looks like, you know, the end of the season here, going into the playoffs, who knows the status of Patrick Mahomes, who's dealing with an ankle issue right now. That's a concern for them. But with the Saints, yeah, it's hard to be critical of the year. It started out so marvelous. I still think about that two-game run in the beginning where we were all singing black and gold Super Bowl after dominating teams, and it just fell apart from there. And now we're just at a shell of this team right now as we're closing out the year. And unfortunately, just three games left, man, and then boom, NFL football is done in New Orleans. Well, not technically, I guess, since the Super Bowl is in the Superdome this year.
Yeah, it goes by fast, man, I'm telling you. And the other thing that screws you up is the weather, because it's so warm until December. Then all of a sudden you're waiting for football season and Christmas, and then it's over. Thank you, Steve Gell. Appreciate it. And we'll be listening this afternoon, Sports Talk. Steve and Bobby and Mike are going to have John Summerall at 420, Tulane Tuesday. You'll look at the Green Waves Gasparilla showdown against Florida. Then they'll go around the NFL with Odyssey insider Mark Schlereth. Then the Saints Hour at 7. Voice of the Saints Mike Haas and VP GM Mickey Loomis. Then at 8 p.m. Pelicans Weekly. So a lot coming up on WWL. Right now, look at traffic. Till 10, Councilman Scott Walker tweeting about the accidents on the Causeway Bridge, said to be 40 to 50 cars. That's quoting him on this now. I don't know if it's one of those things like that happened on the I-55 back then, but it's bad. The causeway is closed. Numerous accidents, both sides, closed in both directions, not expected to open until after 11 o'clock, if by then. Ben Myers joins us now, our friend, staff writer for NOLA.com, talk about the garbage problem in the French Quarter and everything else. How you doing, Ben?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. I know you have a story to tell, so I'm just going to sit back and tell us, listen as you tell us, what the hell is going on with garbage collection in Orleans Parish?
Well, it's pretty complex. Maybe we can just start with a court ruling yesterday. Judge Paulette Irons found that the city council must execute a sanitation contract with Henry Consulting for the French Quarter and Downtown Development District that the council has indicated that it does not want to execute. It has not voted on it. The issue at play was the council's ordinance from 2022 that purports to give itself authority over certain professional services contracts that this falls under. the judge basically said, no, that is purely the domain of the executive. And counsel, you can't go around just denying the contracts that her administration has selected. Now, this leaves open the question of who will actually be collecting garbage come Monday and doing other street sweeping and et cetera when the existing contract runs out. The administration hasn't actually said. I believe without actually knowing or having confirmed from the administration, because they won't say anything about it, that it will be Sidney Torres's company, Ivy Waste, which was selected through an emergency bid, kind of as a backup. So we could really use some word from the administration on who is actually going to be doing the work come Monday.
So it would seem, give me, because we had a lot of Causeway trouble, and Carl Tedufer's show is going to come on in a second. I'm going to have to cut your segment short, and I'm sorry for that,
Understood.
Ben. But
no worries.
Bottom line is, what happens with the, what is the end result here? Is the garbage going to be picked up, and who's going to pick it up?
I think somebody's going to start picking it up on Monday, but the administration hasn't said who it's going to be. So I guess we'll find out, hopefully, sometime this week.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time and your efforts. It is 9:50, 10 till 7. We're going to talk to Carl Tedufer Show and get the latest on the Causeway and what's going on there because huh? Tell me, Tim, again. After the break, take a break. All right, let's take a break here on WWL. We'll talk to Carl Tedufer Show when we come back. Causeway closed in both directions. Back in a flash, WWL. 53-7 till 10, massive problems at the Causeway. General Manager of the Causeway, Carl Tedufer Show, joins us now. Carlton, I've seen some video, a lot of cars, a lot of airbags deployed. Tell me what's going on the Causeway.
Let's see, Tommy, the message to everybody is no matter where you go and when you drive, and keep your eyes on the road, pay attention, whether it's foggy or not foggy. All this started about 8:30 this morning. We had some light fog earlier, but then it just all of a sudden became very, very thick. In fact, while it's clearing up on the north end, I'm looking out on the south end now, and it's, we barely see 200 feet. First crash was about the 18-mile marker southbound, almost simultaneously. With a couple minutes later, we had one almost at the same spot on the northbound bridge. There was a third crash about the 8-mile marker on the northbound bridge. Both bridges are closed because of the responses. We do have injuries. We're trying to take care of the injured right now. In fact, one of my police officers was rear-ended. He responded to the southbound crash, and then one of my motorist assistance guys was rear-ended on the northbound crash. So a message, please, for everybody, whether you're driving the Causeway or anything else, is almost every crash is preventable, even in poor visibility. Just keep your eyes on the road and pay attention. This is going to be a major one for us. We will probably have the bridge closed for at least another 2 hours. And I apologize for anybody for the inconvenience, but the message for everybody is just always be safe.
Well, it's not your fault that you got to close the bridge. Do you have any idea how many vehicles involved? Because I'm looking at some pictures here from local media.
I do not know. I know the most significant crash appears to be the first one on the southbound bridge, but we're into this now about an hour and 10, 15 minutes. We're still assessing. So it is a big one for us.
And word on injuries, Carlton, do you have any idea?
I know we
yet?
Have injuries. I do not know the extent. I'm sorry.
And what about overboards or anything like that? No, nothing.
No overboards. The rails worked. They kept everybody on the bridge, thank gosh. And the good news, Tom, right now is the folks that were stuck out there, they almost all of those are off the bridge. From what I'm hearing, we do have injuries, but I'm hopeful that everybody will be okay. And I'm sorry, I just don't know more. It's just
no. I know you're busy, and look, you're still trying to clean it up. Do you know about any damage to the bridge or anything like that? I'm thinking I-55, nothing caught on fire, anything like that. As far as you know,
no. Look, our guys. The difference in all this always is our guys are there right away. And obviously, even with their lights on, they got hit in this one, but. I believe the bridge, I'm positive the bridge will be reopened later today. But at the moment, it's going to be a couple hours yet. So everyone, all your listeners, please use alternate routes if you're coming to the South Shore, going to the North Shore.
So the best noon would be the best time possible. Carlton, real quick.
I would suggest check back with us before then, please. Yeah, go ahead.
Just tell people what they're supposed to do. I know you're busy, but real quick, if for whatever reason they're on a causeway and they hit some fog, tell them what they're supposed to do, please.
First thing you do is keep driving. Go straight ahead. You slow down, but you keep driving. You never stop. You can slow down to whatever speed is comfortable for you. If you want to pull over, there's the shoulders and the crossovers are only 2 miles apart. So literally you're within minutes of a place where you can pull over and stop on the bridge. The best situation, though, is just to keep moving. If you can see the vehicle ahead of you, the taillights, stay close to it. If it's going a million miles an hour, let them get the heck out of the way and don't try to keep up with them. You can see the curb on the side of the road, the striping, and you'll get to where you're going safely.
Thank you, Carlton. I know you're busy. I appreciate your time,
sir. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
Take care.
Causeway, you too. Good luck to y'all. Causeway closed definitely until noon at the earliest. And then I get text pops up here. I-10 westbound on Spillway, dead stopped. Be careful. Be careful. And other people texting in about, I cross every day, people with their phones plastered in the face going 70 miles an hour. I mentioned that I took a ride to North Louisiana over the weekend. The people, as Newell Norman joins us now, I believe. Newell, you there? Okay, Newell will join us in a little bit. But the people that I see driving on the interstate with the phones and trying to merge onto the interstate with the phones, I don't understand what could be that important on the phone. And you think you're multitasking, but you're not. The only reason that's happening is because people are driving defensively and preventing you from causing an accident. And when something happens like fog or some other extenuating circumstances, maybe the other person is on their phone. That's when the accident happens. And it's like, for the love of God, put the gosh dang phones down and drive. It's not that hard, is it? I mean, really. Just because you have the phone, and it's not a phone, it's a computer. You're not on the phone, you're working on a computer while you're trying to drive, and it makes no sense, so don't do it. I'm not trying to preach, but I'm preaching. You can join Newell Norman tomorrow for a holiday food drive at the Metropolitan Health Group in Metairie. He's going to be harvesting hope for the holidays, collecting packaged food goods and accepting donations for Second Harvest Food Bank. Stop by, say hi, make a donation, even tour Metropolitan Health Group state-of-the-art facility. So let's make sure no child, senior, or neighbor goes hungry at Christmas. You can meet Newell tomorrow at Metropolitan Health Group, 4454 Transcontinental. Today, though, he's coming up next, and he's got a big show planned for you. He's going to rant at 10 o'clock, as he always does, and he'll give you your turn. At 11 o'clock, he'll talk with New Orleans difference makers, including Joel Holton, program manager of Louisiana Green Corps. At 11:30, he'll talk with Claus Sadlier, founder and lead curator of the New Orleans Storyville Museum. Then at noon, another list you don't want to top, but unfortunately, Louisiana is one of the top judicial hellholes in the United States. He'll talk about that with Tiger Joyce, President of American Tort Reform Association. Be safe out there. Thanks to Tim and Jordan. We'll be back tomorrow.